Welcome to the Broadband Bunch, a podcast about broadband and how it impacts all of us. Join us to learn about the state of the industry and the latest innovations and trends. Connect with the thought leaders, pioneers, and policymakers helping to shape your future through broadband. Join us on Facebook at the Broadband Bunch and see the latest episodes, news, and photos. The Broadband Bunch, as always, sponsored by ETI Software. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Broadband Bunch. I'm Craig Corbin. Thanks so much for joining us. Utilities, organizations responsible for keeping us supplied with the necessities of electricity, water, natural gas, and in recent years, many locations have added broadband to the list of vitally important services provided by utilities. Along the way, a global association known as the Utilities Technology Council, or UTC, has remained focused on the intersection of telecommunications and utility infrastructure. Founded more than 70 years ago in 1948 to advocate for the allocation of additional radio spectrum for power utilities, UTC has evolved into a dynamic organization representing electric, gas, and water utilities, along with natural gas pipelines, critical infrastructure companies, as well as other industry stakeholders. Our guest today was named President and CEO of the Utilities Technology Council in June of this year. She holds a bachelor's degree in international business, along with master's degrees in accounting and human resources management. It is a pleasure to welcome UTC President and Chief Executive Officer, Cheryl Riggs. Cheryl, welcome to the Broadband Bunch.
Oh, thank you. What a pleasure, Craig. It's so wonderful to be here to talk about this very relevant topic. And thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. And for those who might not know or be as familiar with UTC as some of us in the industry, if you could, please give us an overview of the organization and perhaps the team that's involved in the day-to-day work of UTC.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, we definitely represent all areas of utilities, electric, gas, and water utilities. But we represent all types of utilities, investor-owned, public power, and cooperatives on the electric side. And this is because most utilities, they face similar challenges with their communications networks and acquiring spectrum, building and managing their private networks, and navigating through the federal regulatory systems, such policies. So they do have similar challenges, and UTC is an organization that tries to foster collaboration, as we state in our mission. And I like to also repeat that because it's very important, not just at this time. But we want to shape the future of utility mission-critical technologies through innovation, fostering collaboration, and influencing public policy. And we have a great team on hand at UTC, a small team of about less than 20 staff members that actually help execute in these goals. And we have an advocacy team, we have a spectrum services teams, and our finance and operations team, and we have a membership and meetings team. So, you know, it takes a village to raise awareness, and that's what we're trying to do at UTC, not just in the U.S., but globally.
You know, when you talk about the team concept and it takes a community to accomplish all that you do, and we'll refer to it a little bit later in our conversation, all of the events that are continually on the calendar with your organization. But you touched on something just a moment ago in your remarks with regard to what I would feel is either an unknown aspect of utilities or a lesser known fact, in that there is a communications component to the infrastructure for utilities that is vital to the day-to-day operation of the utilities. And obviously, that infrastructure plays a huge role in those who are looking to assist their members with providing broadband. If you would touch on that just a little bit.
I'm going to touch on it a little bit because it can get very technical and deep. And that definitely, I would like to not go that deep. But the communications, you're right. They could be anywhere as far as trying to provide these services to our consumers, their consumers, the communities, and they have to be in constant communication. And that requires a complex network, a reliable network. So there's a lot behind the scenes that people don't realize that goes on to make sure that the lights stay on, that the water keeps running. And we work with, our name started out as United Telecom. And that basically speaks to how we wanted to focus on the telecom issues. And we have expanded and changed our name to Utilities Technology to also show that not just the communication, but it's the technology used in developing that communication. Whether it's through they're actually communicating to each other, or it's actually emergency services where consumers are trying to reach the utilities to let them know that there's an emergency, whether it's whatever it is, it's various aspects of the communication system. So that is very important, a very important piece in actually executing all of these things that go on to serve the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, timing is always of the essence. And I think our timing for our discussion today is perfect in that you are just weeks away from having addressed one of our industry's biggest events, the Broadband Communities virtual event this year, obviously with the pandemic. But your topic for the presentation that you made right on cue for our conversation, and the fact that utilities are key partners in connecting unserved Americans. And we, you know, we hear the phrase digital divide. It's very much a reality for those who are either underserved or unserved. And I know that your presentation was extremely well received. If you could share a little bit of your presentation and your thoughts, overview of that.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I was definitely, it was a wonderful experience to be a part of a panel with what I call the SMEs, the people on the ground that were actually speaking to the very details of how they actually deploy broadband. I was coming at a perspective that we see a lot. And in that perspective, one of the things I mentioned, my background, as you said, is in finance or accounting. So I always look at the numbers. And why I like the numbers is because they're undeniable. And what it shows us, like you just mentioned, that there are, it doesn't matter where you live, whether it's rural, urban, or suburban area, broadband accessibility is so important to our nation because far too many Americans basically lack access to affordable or reliable broadband. And to talk about from thinking about the big picture as far as the regulatory issues that our utilities are faced with in trying to deploy this, it's very nice to see and understand how they're collaborating. Some of the bigger IOUs are actually taking it as far as what we call the middle mile, as far as they can take it, and then working collaboratively with the more rural, the co-ops and the municipal utilities to actually take it to the last mile to the consumer. So I was touching upon that in the conversation just to show the connection, the collaboration, because actually to really solve this or come up with a solution to this problem and make strides, we're going to have to collaborate and work together. And that's what hopefully UTC is able to do, bring many utilities of different types to the table to have these difficult technology solution-driven discussions.
Absolutely. And I know that part of what you had shared during that presentation was one example of just what you were referring to, a collaboration between, I believe it was Dominion Energy Virginia, in partnership working with Prince George Electric Cooperative on broadband issues. So I very much agree that there is ample opportunity, a golden opportunity for utilities to play a key role in that development. For many, what utilities do is taken for granted. And I think it was certainly the case before the pandemic hit, but they are important day to day for our existence. If you could speak to the importance of utilities just in an overall framework, how it obviously was the case before, and then certainly the last 7 months dealing with the COVID-19.
Absolutely. But I just want to just go back because you talked about the collaboration, and you're right. I just wanted to clarify Virginia, Dominion Energy, and Appalachian Power, they complied with state laws that allow the utilities to invest in grid modernization communication devices.
Okay.
So that was one example. And then West Virginia lawmakers also recently passed a similar law. And I just wanted to just elaborate just a teensy bit on that because it's a trend. It's what we see is happening, and it's very valuable. And even back in 2018, Entergy in Mississippi won approval from their state regulators to sign a long-term contract with a regional ISP internet service provider that allows regional ISP to deploy broadband networks. So the collaboration is happening, which is a good thing. So in a crisis, as we're talking about the pandemic, the opportunities are there. But the importance of utilities, not only during a pandemic, is simply put, utilities power and fuel our lives in every aspect. And like I said, it affects all people, regardless of where you live, regardless of your class or your station in life. So it's a public service, simply put, in my mind. And our members provide a few of the most essential services in the world, which is electricity, gas, and water. And I can't think of anything that we can do without it. And even now, more than ever, where we have more people working remotely, distance learning, they're relying on electricity and broadband to actually do everything, not just cook and the basics, you know, but to live. If we don't educate our society to move forward, you know, where are we going to be? If people aren't able to work remotely, and we're in a pandemic and you can't work at all, what happens to our economy? So communities without adequate broadband face serious economic and educational challenges. So we need it. It's critical. It's critical to our lives. And even if you're someone who, as they say, lives off the grid, you still will encounter someone who needs it. And someone you may not realize it. So it's necessary for everyone.
No doubt about it. This is the Broadband Bunch. Our guest today, Cheryl Riggs, President and CEO of the Utilities Technology Council. And we talk about the fact that it is essential. Having connectivity is essential. It has long since gone past the point of being considered a luxury. And when you examine truly what percentage of the country doesn't have access, it's staggering. There was a Microsoft study last year that I think came up with the number 162 million. That's virtually half of our nation. And that number differs substantially from what you'll find from the FCC in data mapping. But that's a whole nother conversation that we can have on a different day. But knowing what an opportunity is there, I personally feel that utilities are perfectly positioned to play a leading role in bridging the digital divide and getting connectivity to areas that have desperately needed that, you know, as we move forward. And I was really interested when you touched on the collaboration, the partnerships, because that's the sort of effort that I believe will speed the process of rolling out broadband. And I know that has to be encouraging to you and your team to see that is becoming a trend in the industry. If you could speak to that.
Absolutely. Like you said, and it's wonderful that you're bringing that up, that we're raising awareness. This opportunity out of this crisis, as we just said, that many are home, whether it's distance learning or working remote, but there's an awareness that, hey, I have to have connectivity. I have to have a reliable source so that I can power up my laptop or whatever device I'm using. So this is the time, this window of time to say, oh, okay, you want to pay attention. Let them give the consumer more information about what utilities are doing and how critical and how important and how actually embedded they are, how we're integrated, not just but the utility industry, when I talk about collaboration, we have utilities of different types. And I'm talking about collaboration of other industries. We had our hospitals were full to the maximum. We were making convention centers, emergency hospitals. Well, it takes electricity to actually fuel those hospitals to make them work. So there's a collaboration that could go on there. And the industries, you probably can think of almost every industry and how there could be some kind of collaboration. And the point is, at other times, it might not have been a concern, But now, because of the need that's there, there's created this opportunity for awareness. And I think that we should take advantage of this chance to give the bullhorn or pass the microphone to the utilities and allow them to speak on issues. And even at UTC, I think we're looking at issues and looking at things in a more creative way of what kind of partnerships, maybe with even consumer advocacy groups, how we can work together to help utilities come to that table and get in front of the regulators and the policymakers to make a change, even on issues that we may not have made headway in the past because of this, given this time and this and what's going on. This might be a time to revisit. And we're definitely looking at all of those options.
You know, Cheryl, you just touched on a concept that I think is very important when we look at the long-term success of utilities in serving Americans, you know, coast to coast, and that being collaboration. And I think that it probably is one of the hallmarks of utilities in that they are willing to collaborate, to network, to work together and learn from what others have done in the industry. I know that part of that also is learning how to approach challenges, hurdles that might exist that would make it more difficult in some settings to provide broadband. And I'm sure that, you know, a big part of what your organization is responsible for is, you know, equipping the members as well as they possibly can be to handle those challenges. If you would talk to that.
Yes, we definitely try to work with our members, especially on the advocacy side, as well as in our membership side, as in our spectrum services side, in our finance. All of our departments work together to make sure that we're doing everything to bring awareness, whether it's through our content, our webinars, our training programs, our advocacy issues that we want to bring, whatever our advocacy team finds out or whatever they're fighting for, is basically the voice of the members. So we work together to make sure that we are also connected, very closely connected to our members to find out what's going on the front line. What are your concerns? And then we look at the bigger picture and see what also others are saying and try to figure out how to navigate. Like recently, there's the passing of the RDOF auction funds. So we helped not only by keeping our members aware, but also provided a broadband workshop in August, and we're going to provide another workshop in November, and helping them to actually get and obtain these funds. So we work on every angle with our members and the industry as a whole. We have core utility members, but we also have associate members that are our vendor community that provide services to our core members, our utilities. And we want to keep the connection there and foster the collaboration there as well. So that's just a few ways that we try to ensure that there is awareness through UTC of what's going on and bringing, once again, pushing our members to the table.
Absolutely. And you touched on something that has been so important in the work of UTC over the years. And you mentioned the workshops, the regional meetings. You look at your calendar and it's amazing how many events there are going on in any given year. Obviously, those are phenomenal opportunities for interaction with the membership. A challenge, obviously, this year, given the impact of COVID-19, the pandemic, forcing most organizations to go to a virtual environment. How has that affected the impact of your scheduled meetings, regional and national?
Well, we definitely had to take a look, and what we use a lot is we pivot. We are being flexible and trying to navigate the best way we can with the constraints and the challenges that we face, whether it's financial or, you know, the actual travel bans and so forth. But with that, I still feel we were able to pivot successfully into a virtual event. And the plus side of the virtual event, we reached a record number of utility attendants, almost double than what we've had in the past 3 years. And part of that is because people who could not typically attend, whether it's due to their work schedule, their travel budget restraints, in a virtual environment, they were able to attend. And not only with the virtual environment, we've also put most of our sessions, we recorded our sessions, so they're on demand. So that gave another layer of flexibility for the attendees to actually receive this content. And what on demand also does, not just for those that missed it, but for those that caught a session and they're like, this was really good, it gives them an opportunity to share it with their colleagues. So it expands, the message gets to a bigger audience. So that definitely was a benefit of the virtual environment. The one thing, of course, that was a challenge and is a challenge, I'm sure, for everyone who's dealing in this virtual space is the networking. We do have quite a few events. Our annual conference, which is nationwide, even we do have global participation, our regional events. So when you don't have that networking, which that networking is just the start, and it creates lifetime relationships, believe it or not, across utilities, where they are talking and exchanging technology and techniques and all kinds of great, valuable information to be used out in the field happens on those networking opportunities that we didn't have as many. And we did try to create some virtual networking opportunities, but it's not the same as in person. So that definitely is still a challenge. And we're hopeful, but we are going to remain fluid as far as next year. We're not going to ever return to a completely in-person model. We will always try to have a virtual offering so that we can continue to stay connected to many of those people that came and attended our virtual event.
That's an interesting development. And quite frankly, I think that is one of the first times that I have been able to hear sort of a silver lining, if you will, to, you know, being forced into a virtual setting and actually finding benefit from that. So congratulations on that. That is a phenomenal development. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on this morning in our visit is the UTC Foundation. And that's something that I think is so important when we look at part of what you're doing that is focused on supporting future technology and telecommunications talent today through scholarships and other programs. Give us an overview, if you would, of the UTC Foundation.
All right. Well, the UTC Foundation is a relatively new foundation. And what we try to do is just address some of the utility industry challenges, workforce challenges. And it's not just utilities, but utilities, is, like we said, is mission critical. So we definitely need to make sure two things, that the workforce that is there now, they have a tremendous amount of knowledge. Like I said, I call them the SMEs. They're the subject matter experts, in my opinion, because they deal with it day to day. So we want that knowledge exchange to occur with the upcoming and emerging leaders. So we need to connect the two. So it's not just filling a position or filling a job, but it's introducing young students, whether it's engineering, IT, into the connect to the utility industry, and hopefully making that connection. Once again, I don't overuse this word, but collaborate. I am looking for a collaboration with the younger students and with some of our more seasoned professionals so that there can be a good mentorship. That's something I honestly, even with my HR background, I don't think that some of the competitors or other industries can offer these same students with this skill set, because although it looks very attractive as far as it's very similar, the group, is they have a camaraderie or a friendship because they may be just coming out of school together. But that mentorship at some point in your career is going to be very key, and it's going to be sooner than later. And at the utility industry, because it is very, it's a long term, like I said, it's a public service, a lot of the people have dedicated their lives to providing this service. So that information, it has to be mentored. It's not something that can be bottled up into a day or two of training. That has to be mentored. So hopefully the UTC Foundation, as we develop and we actually really grow, we can make those connections. And we've reached out working with students and different universities. But like I said, we're still in an infant stage, but that is the desire, to really close that gap with the utility workforce.
UTC is to be congratulated for what is very much a proactive approach to this. You know, you're looking to align curriculum to the industry needs and, assist in that effort. And I know a lot of grants going out. So congratulations on the work of the foundation, because that deals not only with the ongoing ability of utilities to have their mission critical work done today, but in years ahead. So that's very exciting. As we begin to wind down our visit today, I know that we look at the role of utilities on the local level, but there's a global picture as well. And I know that UTC has been involved in many ways over the years. Why is it important to be aware of what's going on both locally as well as globally?
Well, I don't want to get too detailed, like I said, as we're winding now, but one reason it's important, it's once again, just very repetitive, going back to that collaboration, issues that we are having or challenges that we deal with in the U.S. may very well have been dealt with in another part of the world. So we should also learn from those experiences. So that's why it's very important to exchange, once again, that technology, that information on a global level. At the same time, there may be challenges that others face throughout the world that we have already encountered, and we may be able to provide insights leading to a faster solution. And then some issues just lend themselves to a global nature, like cybersecurity and security issue and keeping things safe and actually emergency responses, you know, weather challenges, hurricanes and disasters, natural disasters happen all throughout the world. So these are some things that we can actually just learn from each other globally. And it benefits us to talk about it in a global sense as opposed to siloing ourselves. Now, where it comes to issues that may be a little bit different is more on the regulatory side. But there are definitely some issues that lend itself to a global conversation. And it benefits our utilities to be involved.
Excellent. And we touched on it earlier, the fact that your calendar is always filled with events, both regional and national. And you've got a number of them coming up for the balance of this year. And then a big one that I notice in June of 21, your telecom and technology event to be held in Portland, I believe. So that's,
yes,
that's exciting.
Absolutely. That is exciting. It's interesting, but the point, once again, we're going to remain fluid. And at the end of the day, just like our utilities, we shape our model behind them. We're going to safety first. So we're going to whatever, like I said, we're not going to return to an in-person model alone. So we are prepared and preparing to continue, whether it's virtually. We're going to continue. This information, our utilities continue through natural disasters, through all types of situations, through the pandemic. They've kept the lights on. They've kept us powered. We're modeling ourselves, and we're going to do the same. We're going to continue.
Absolutely. And we thank the UTC as a whole for all the phenomenal work over the years and all the utilities and what they mean to us each and every day, what we take for granted, the lights coming on when we flip the switch, the water being there when we need it, and the natural gas as well. But so pleased to be able to learn more about UTC, the phenomenal work that you and your team have going on, and would love to be able to check back in with you at some point in the future to see how things are developing.
Well, we'd love to talk more about and keep the conversation going. Thank you again for giving us the opportunity to bring awareness about utilities and UTC. And hopefully there's a place for all utilities at UTC. So hopefully we have, contributed to that conversation. And this was very, I appreciate it. And we appreciate it. And I want to thank the UTC team, because we are a small but mighty group, and we work together to make sure that all of these things are actually accomplished. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. UTC President and Chief Executive Officer Cheryl Riggs, our guest today on the Broadband Bunch. That's going to wrap things up for this edition. Thanks so much for letting us be a part of your day. On behalf of everyone, I'm Craig Corbin. We'll see you next time right here on the Broadband Bunch.